Hello. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Ross Foreman with Global Force Wrestling. I'd like to welcome everybody to this week's media teleconference.
Recording has started.
I'm going to keep everybody in mute mode as we...
Muted.
Hello. Well, I'd like to welcome everybody again. We can get going here now. We have three special guests with us today. It's certainly a pleasure to welcome our reigning GFW Knockouts champion, Sienna. Good afternoon, Sienna.
Hello.
Good afternoon, Sienna. Are you there?
Yes, now that you have me unmuted, I am here.
Sorry about that. Next, we'd also like to welcome Laurel Van Ness. Good afternoon to you.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And, of course, the GFW Executive Director, Karen Jarrett.
Hello, good afternoon. We're
going to
get things up on here and have some fun.
All right, well, we'll open it up. We'll give the champion the opening volley. Sienna, give us your thoughts.
What would you like my thoughts on exactly? Do we have a question?
What's going on with you? And then we're going to open up for some questions. What's happening with you? You got the Destination X on Thursday, the 17th of August. Your thoughts on what's going on in the Knockouts division?
I'm gonna butt in and say that she's about to get put on her plate.
Well, I'm gonna butt back in and say that this question was directed toward me, so please wait your turn. We're being professionals here. What's up with me is exactly what you would expect is up with me. I am the reigning champion, the unified Knockouts champion, and I'm basically at home training every day, preparing for Destination X. Not that I really need to do much more preparing, but that's just my daily routine anyway, so I might as well just keep going with it. I'm not too concerned about Destination X. I just beat Rosemary in a last Knockout Standing match, and I think that speaks volumes to what I'm capable of.
Not that you did it on your own.
Okay, I don't think so. I think I'm the one that put her to the table, thanks though.
Okay, that's just your long rock.
Perfect. Laurel, let me ask you, where are things at with you? What's going on in the head up there with you?
Well, right now I'm kind of just focused on my next beverage and when happy hour is about to hit. So I'm a fly by the seat of your pants type of gal. I don't really plan things, you know what I mean?
Can't say I'm surprised on that, and all I'll say to you is cheers. Karen, before we open it up for some questions from the media, what's happening in the executive wing at GFW? What's going on these days?
There's a lot going on the executive wing, but I think more so because of who we have on the call, I'm looking forward to rebuilding the Knockouts division, and that's my main focus right now, and getting things back to the way they were years ago. With that being said, I'd love to open the floor up to some questions, and then Ross, you and I, we can hit on some what's going on in New York and some live events and all that good stuff later on. How's that sound?
That sounds perfect. Media, all I ask is when we do open it up for questions, you identify yourself, including your outlet, and we ask for one question and one question alone. We have a lot of people waiting to get in line, and then after you ask your question, I ask that you do not get back in the queue for a second question until we open it up due to the amount of people we have waiting to speak to the Knockouts. If you'd like to ask a question, again, you'll hear the procedure is *6. And please identify yourself and also who the question is geared for.
Hi, Karen.
Q&A session has started. To ask your question, please press *6.
Hi, guys. This is James from the Wrestling Epicenter. It's a pleasure to be with all three of you. My question would be, first of all, is twofold. Do you guys feel that the Knockouts division did start this women's revolution that we're seeing throughout the entire wrestling industry right now? And furthermore, What do you think is really attributed to the growth and attention towards women's wrestling throughout the wrestling world as it has grown over the past 10 years?
Sienna, you want to take that question?
Can any of us answer the question, or how are we doing this?
Sienna, go ahead. You can answer that.
Okay, so hello, James. I do believe that 100% the knockout started, if you want to call it a women's revolution, if you want to label it, sure. The knockouts were the first women to do this kind of stuff on TV back in, 2009, 2008 was when it was like its hottest. Right now, I think that a lot of other companies have kind of jumped on board, and it's like a trendy thing. Everyone wants to have women in the main event. Everyone wants to have a women's tournament for whatever. And I think that the knockouts absolutely set the bar like 10 years ago. And I do believe that we are well on our way to bringing it back to that, to where it originally started. I'll let someone else take the second part of the question. I won't be selfish yet.
Oh, wow. Wow. LVN?
I agree with what exactly what Sienna said. I think that a lot of companies now are jumping on board and taking credit for what we've always been doing in Impact. I really don't mind. I don't mind who wants to take credit for it, because at the end of the day, if you look back in history at the matches that Gail and the girls were having, that's proof right there that the women's revolution, you know, started an Impact.
Absolutely. I think that TNA at the time gave the women a platform that they could prove themselves and show that they were more than just having a pillow match or a lingerie match or, whatever other type of gimmick you want to pull out, and show their true talent, athletic ability, and show that they can compete just like the guys do.
Hi, this is Jeremy Walker from Real Sport. This is the question for Karen mostly. Just wanted to know what the rationale was behind keeping the Knockouts name for the women's division, given that other companies have dropped the gimmicky style names from women's wrestling.
I'm not sure what everyone else's reasoning is behind it, that we have a X division, the tag team division, and there's a knockout division. I think that every division of the company should have their own name and should be showcased in a different way.
I want to jump in on this question because I've been getting a lot of tweets about this in particular, and it's been driving me crazy. So a lot of fans, because right now there's a lot of pseudo-feminism going on where they think that they need to jump on this board of women's rights when really they're telling us what we should and should not be offended by. Being the Knockouts champion, I think it's safe for me to say I have zero problem with the name Knockout. Knockout never had a negative connotation that, for example, Diva did. So I know that another company got rid of their name for their women's division, but it's because that name had such a negative connotation for years. Knockouts have never had a negative connotation with the name Knockout. It's cool that it has like a double meaning, because yeah, we're knockouts and we're sexy, but we're also knockouts like we can knock you out. And I have zero issue with that. I don't think we need to jump on a train of, oh, this company is doing it, so we need to too. We're doing our own thing.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I get that a lot too on social media. I get asked, why do we still have the name Knockouts, etc. I have no problem with it either. It doesn't offend me. I actually quite like it, and I like the fact that it does differentiate us, and we can call ourselves the Knockouts. That's our group. It's like, a girl band. I really don't think it has any negative connotation to the word.
Hi, this question is for Karen, Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com. Can you clear the air about the alleged Braun Strowman altercation that took place a few weeks ago?
Oh, my goodness. I can clear the air. It was a silly incident where you've got two people in the wrestling business playing their characters, being silly, and it got blown way out of proportion. And the fact that the two of us are still in the news and it's still being talked about, and that's the question that you took the time to ask, I think is hysterical, to be honest with you. It's silliness, and I mean, it's the wrestling business. We had fun with it, and somebody took it and turned it into something more than what it was.
Hi, it's Lee Mayer from Alive 107.3 in Scotland. Great to speak to you all. Karen, you said you were focusing on rebuilding the Knockouts division, and I think many people would say that has been a weak point, if I can say that, as of late, certainly in Impact, probably the weakest it's been in a few years. Is there a specific area in terms of talent that you're looking to bring on, or are you looking to different talents that you can bring in just now? Have you already got some names in mind?
If I had names in mind, I wouldn't unveil them on this call. But I think the Knockout division has taken a back seat and should be put forward. And there should be more females within the company. If you look back to the ratings 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 4 years ago, or you look at the minute by minute, some of the segments with the Knockouts were the highest rated segments on the show. There's extremely talented women out there on the independent circuit, and I'm there, and I'm going to make sure that the females begin to get the attention that they deserve and the platform that they deserve.
Hey everybody, it's Mike Johnson from PWInsider.com. Hope you're all doing okay. Hi, Karen. I actually have my question's for Laurel and for Sienna. You guys have been an important part of rebuilding the Knockouts division in the current incarnation of Impact Wrestling, GFW. What would you like to see, from your perspective, the company do more of to spotlight the women more? Obviously, there's been more of a chance to have longer form wrestling matches. We just had a last Knockout standing match. What would you like to see the company, from your perspective, do more to spotlight the Knockouts division that's not happening already?
Well, I would just say... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. I think right now I'm really proud of what we're putting out there. I think it's, at this point, quality over quantity. What we're putting out is quality wrestling and quality entertainment segments. And I don't necessarily think that we need to be putting out, you know, three women's matches a show. I think that the one women's match that we have is going to be a kick-ass match that everybody is entertained by, and then, you know, a five-star match. That being said, of course, all I want is for the women to get more time and wrestle as much as we possibly can. But at this point, I'm so happy with the way that we're going and the kind of sisterhood that we have in the Knockout division. But I think that we're only getting better from here.
I totally agree with that. And I also think that a huge part of it is not just in the matches. First of all, I was going to say, just give me more time, of course. Make me like half the show and we'll be good. But, like, I think we're going in the right direction with one promo, for example. The women need the mic more in general. And I'm very grateful that the company has had faith in me with a lot of the backstage segments, a lot of the in-ring segments. I think that is really where character development lies. And so a lot more women need to get comfortable talking, because a lot of them aren't, like, throughout women's wrestling in general, not just indies, not just TV, but, like, everywhere. Women in general do not like to speak if they need to. Another thing that I would like, since we have someone who makes decisions on the line, is a lot more stipulation matches, because I think women can rock them, and I think that we can tear the house down with stuff like that. We can do that kind of stuff, too, just like the guys.
Jerry, you want to chime in on stipulation matches?
I think the girls did a great job, and Sienna, I am happy to throw some stipulation matches out there for you.
Good. I look forward to it.
Hi, Karen. This is Raj Geary with WrestlingInc.com. Congratulations on the changes that are happening right now with GFW. I did want to ask, with John Hennigan and wrestling this weekend at your live events, is that a one-time thing, or is that...
No, sir. Well, I'm hoping that it's not a one-time thing. I'll put it that way. But, no, we are in the process of talking to him, and we're trying to see what we can nail down.
Hi, this is Nick Hausman from WrestleZone.com. My question was for Karen. Karen, we've been getting a lot more coming out about the Hardy Anthem TNA situation. Matt Hardy recently tweeted it's happening. Just this morning, Sports Illustrated ran an interview with Rebby. A lot of things were said in there as well, including her saying Billy acted as an intermediary for a brief period of time between them and you all. What I'm wondering, Karen, is, are we any closer to a resolution? And as you, as somebody in the office, are you advocating for this to come to some kind of resolution?
Absolutely. I would love to see a resolution. But there's always three sides to a story, and there's facts to a story. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. And things aren't always what they seem to be. Commenting on it or putting anything out there, I don't think is productive in any way, shape, or form right now. I think the best thing to do is to leave it up to the attorneys to handle. I'm taking the high road and trying to be as mature as possible with everything going on with the entire situation.
Hi, ladies. Ryan Bowman from thegorillaposition.com. Thank you for your time today. My question is for Karen, actually. As the lady behind the Knockouts division, how all-encompassing is that role? Obviously, you work with the ladies to develop their characters, their image. Does it involve in-ring stuff, the booking of the division? I guess, how involved do you have to be with the Knockouts, and how much time of your day does it take up? Thanks.
Considering there's a lot of other things that we're also involved in with Bruce, Dutch, myself, I am not involved. I've never wrestled, obviously. I'm not involved with anything having to do with their in-ring or the character development. We leave that up to the creative team and the agents. I'm basically there, and that was what I told Jeff, I told Ed. I want to be a voice there for the women, and I want to make sure that we are showcasing our women, and they are getting the time that they deserve. Do I work with them, talk with them? I talked to a couple girls this week just on, you know, attire, different things like that, their music. But I am there and go into the creative room, you know, a couple days a week, and I want to make sure that our girls are getting the time on the show that they deserve.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Franco for Future Magazine. Bonjour, because I'm French. I want to ask a question to Karen. Who do you have in mind when you think about Future Knockouts?
And as I said earlier, any of the people that I have in mind, I'm not going to release that on this call. That would defeat the purpose of bringing anyone in or bringing anyone back.
Hi, ladies. Thanks for joining on the call today. I'm Andy from Two Men and Their Mics. My question is actually for all of you. It's been said that ratings among young women are booming on Spike TV over here in the UK. Why do you think that is?
Probably because I'm leading the Knockouts division right now. I mean, I'm sure you're happy with that. I think that I'm going to take this. I think that this show for a while was very dark. And I think that now we're getting in touch with, you know, I'll see the demographics for kids is growing, along with females over there. And, you know, we're touching on comedy. There's other stories in the show. It's not so dark. It's funny. I think we're trying to attract, or I think we're doing a better job of attracting all different audiences.
I agree. I think, like Karen said, we're, you know, it's not just a wrestling show. It's a little bit of entertainment. We've got a little bit of comedy. We've got some high flyers. And we do have that, still have a little bit of that dark side with Rosemary. So I think we can attract all sorts of audiences. And that's definitely what everybody wants to see. And within the knockouts division, we have a little bit of everything. We have some ass kickers. We have the girly girls, we have, you know, the crazy hot messes, and the dark characters. So I think we've kind of hit the nail on the head with that one.
Good want to see something different. And that's Hello,
this is Riju from Sports Kira in India. My question is, as Knockout, do you think that Netflix shows like, say, Glow can help women's wrestling in the future?
Yeah, I definitely do. Any sort of positive light that we can shine on the wrestling industry and women's wrestling in particular is going to draw attention to us, and that's exactly what we need. Whether it's someone flipping through the channel and stopping on the Knockouts match because they had watched Glow or, you know, any sort of wrestling movie, that always helps us, and I completely support shows and movies like that.
Absolutely.
Hi, this is Dan Marotti with Boston Wrestling Sports. This question is for Mrs. Jarrett. Dutch Mantel has done a really great job creatively, but as a mom, you have your own focus group that you get to go home to and reunite with your kids. From a female point of view, do you think there's anything, any sort of big blocks ideas, maybe you can't go into too many details on, but that might be on the drawing board right now, they could give fans that might be disenfranchised with what they look at as cookie-cutter type presentation of WWE's four weekly shows and get more eyeballs watching Impact again and then having them open up the wallet for pay-per-views and live event tickets?
I'm sorry, I had trouble hearing you. I'm not sure if it was my connection or yours, but can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Absolutely. Dutch Mantel, I think, has done a great job with what he's doing at Impact right now. You have the luxury of having your own little focus group when you go home every night,
right,
and a mom having the kids there. Do you have any ideas, maybe from a female point of view, that are up on the drawing board right now, being worked on, thought about, that could perhaps bring some lapsed Impact fans back into the realm of watching on television, online, and thus getting more eyeballs on the TV show, then getting them to open up the wallet for pay-per-view events and live events when they come to the area?
I think that, I mean, we're obviously throwing everything we can against the wall for change and seeing what sticks, what people like, what people don't like. And yes, I throw things off the kids. Jeff says, I mean, comedy, I mean, when Jeff comes up with different things or people send over their reel, you know, we do have our kids watch them. And we want to hear, you know, each one of them come back with a different response to it. But I will say also within that, and me being a female and contributing on my end, I think that my husband does an incredible job of having people within the creative room that everyone has a different vision. So obviously we'll not go into different ideas on this call because that would be letting it out of the bag, and we need to big things for the show. But we want to be different. We are different, and we are doing what we can to make that happen as fast as we can, but not too fast.
Stephanie Franklin again for Stitcher Magazine. My question is for Sienna. Karen Kim recently announced that she was retiring. Sorry. Would you be interested in being a last opponent?
I would
love nothing more than to send Gail Kim into retirement. That would make me the happiest person in the world. Ironically, she was my first opponent in Impact. 2016 when I did the knockdown, and I beat her then, so I really don't see having a last match being any different. So yes, absolutely, I would love to be Gail's last match.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Riju again from SportsKira. This question is for Sienna. Are there knockouts from the past that you wish that you had faced in your career?
Knockouts from the past? The first one that came to mind when you said that was Taylor Wilde. I know that she doesn't wrestle at all anymore, but I remember watching her back in the day. And she's just a feisty little thing, and she's small. I've never met her in real life, but she's so small that I know I could launch her across the ring. That's the first one that comes to mind. Who else? I want to say Awesome Kong as well, just because, I mean, she is a bigger than I am, so I think that there is a challenge there. But
and she would absolutely destroy you.
I don't know about all that. I mean, she's been around for a long time. I'm younger. I'm faster. But she obviously has experience, and she's a little scary. I think I'm scary too, though. But I would love to test my abilities against someone like her. Oh, and Havoc too, for that matter. I would love for Havoc to come in. Whether she will be friend or foe, I don't know.
Ryan Ryder here for Main Event Radio. I'd like to hear further thoughts from the three of you on the retirement of Gail Kim and her transitioning to a more behind-the-scenes role.
That for me really is so exciting because I love having her input. I've always loved her matches. She has some of the best matches in women's wrestling history. So for her to be backstage helping out the Knockouts division, helping rebuild us, we couldn't ask for anything better in my opinion.
Deanna,
if you have any comments on that?
No, I think I made it clear in the last question.
I'll let you guys handle this one.
Okay. I'm totally sad to see her retire, but I think she's going to do an amazing job in her new role, and I feel that the girls are in for a rude awakening of Gail has been in this business for years and has a passion that you just cannot duplicate, and I'm not saying the other girls don't have it, but she's going to make them work. She's going to make them train. It's going to be a whole new world for them, but I'm excited to see where everyone goes from there. But I think Gail's going to do an amazing job, but it's game on. If you can survive
Gail's training, hey. So Gail can make the knockouts work. She can put them through training, all that. I'm already doing all that, so I'm not worried about it. If she does that to everyone else, that'd be great because I would love to have like a decent opponent.
Well, if you ask me, you're one at the top of the list that needs to learn respect, and I don't think that comment for somebody who's retiring and who has been and is in the Hall of Fame, I mean, come on.
You didn't say respect.
There's a lot you can learn from Gail Kim.
I respect Gail. I'll say that. I respect Gail. We're not talking about respect. You said she's going to make us work. She's going to make us train. I got that covered. That's all I'm saying.
Hello, it's Mike Johnson from PW Insider again. How are you?
We're wonderful.
I wanted to ask about the creative end of the Knockouts division. When the division was first created, Dutch Mantel and Scott D'Amore were a big part of it. Can you break down who's working specifically on the creative end of the Knockouts division now, or is it just the entire team is working on all aspects of the company, including, obviously, the Knockouts?
All ends of everyone in creative is contributing on that. But obviously, Dutch and Scott and Sanjay. I mean, they're more in tune with it. But it is, it's open to the entire room, and everybody's throwing what they can, obviously, against the wall. But those three are really, they are incredibly gifted in dealing with it. I would say that. I'm not sure if that answered your question or not. But it's a team effort across the board.
And for the media members who have been texting me that you have a second question, yes, you may chime in with a second question. One at a time, but if you want to get back in queue, no problem.
Steph Franklin for Steve Chamag again. My question is for Sienna again. I wanted to ask you if you were interested in some ways to be involved in an MMA match, because you're using a lot of MMA locks. So do you think one day to be involved in MMA?
Is your question is one day I'm going to have an MMA fight? Is that your question?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I've actually already done that.
Sorry for the French accent. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's all right. It's also, the phone doesn't help, you know. Anyway, I've actually already had an MMA fight right before I got signed to Impact Wrestling in December of 2015. I had my first MMA fight where I won second round rear naked choke. And I was thinking of taking my second fight around April or May of 2016, and then I ended up getting signed with Impact. So I obviously put MMA second to my new career here at Impact, because if I did get injured in an MMA fight, that would obviously affect my path here at Impact. So I set that aside, still doing the training. I still train to this day, so that's not ruled out for the future. But yes, I have already had one MMA fight.
Hi guys, it's Lee from Live 107.3 here in Scotland again. Obviously, you're just back from Impact in India, and just the fans around the world love to see the knockouts in action. How does the audience reaction differ going from places like India to the US to over here in the UK? And with that in mind, when can we expect to see the knockouts back over here in the UK in person?
The reactions differ everywhere. It's pretty commonly known that, like, for example, if you go to Japan, the audience is very silent for most of the match. They do like a little golf clap, but they don't get too rowdy. They do sometimes. I mean, I've seen them get rowdy, but every audience differs. And like I found, for example, in India, they were so loud, and I really think that they were almost more hyped than anyone because they rarely get to see us, and they rarely get to see wrestling live at all. So it was a huge deal for them to see us. And in the Impact Zone, I mean, people get loud, but at the same time, it's almost like, I don't want to say they're privileged, but they do get to see us every time we come there, and a lot of times it's the same fans. Sometimes I look out there and I see people, they're just like staring, like, I don't know. I think sometimes they get desensitized because they get it all the time. So I'm so excited to go out traveling. No offense, fans in the Impact Zone, but like, you need to take it up a notch. You need to step it up a notch and be like these other cities we go to that appreciate us when we're there.
I particularly love traveling for wrestling because you do get to see a new crowd, new faces, new fans, and with that, of course, comes a new level of excitement that sometimes, like Sienna said, we don't have in the Impact Zone. And with the UK, gosh, I think Karen would know when we're coming back. I'm so excited to get back to the UK. That would be amazing.
Yeah, when we go back, Karen.
Yeah, we do not have a confirmed date, but I know Jeff is currently working on that. So hopefully we'll announce that within the next few months. As for the Impact Zone and the fans in Orlando and the fans that travel in there, incredibly thankful for them that they have continued to do that for so many years. And, you know, I looked out there and I see faces that I saw years and years ago, and there's a lot of new faces. But it's hard because they are, I'm going to say it, like, they're spoiled. They get to see us every week. And we're incredibly grateful that we have, you know, Universal Studios, and that we have our fans that, you know, show up at every taping. But there's nothing like getting out on the road and live events and being able to be in front of a different crowd every night. And the energy that's in that crowd and the talent, and you feed off of it. You feed off of each other. And it's just, there's nothing in the world like it.
Hi, it's Jeremy Walker from Real Sport again. Question for Laurel. Wondering if you could reflect on your time on Tough Enough.
Yeah, I get asked that question a lot. That was one of the toughest things I've ever done. Mentally, physically, it was absolutely draining. But I had such a great time meeting the other contestants. Those are still people I speak to on a weekly basis, and I wish them nothing but success. With Tough Enough, you know, my only goal was to win. And so when I was kicked off, I just kind of thought, okay, well, I'm going to use that as a stepping stone and try to get my name out there as much as possible. And that is actually how I was able to get in touch with Impact. So I'm very happy for what I went through during Tough Enough, because it definitely has led me to where I am now.
Hey ladies, it's Mike Johnson from PW Insider again. In recent months, the Netflix version of Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling has gotten a lot of press. I was curious on your thoughts on the series, if you've watched it, and maybe what professional wrestling in general can learn from that show when it comes to presenting women.
Well, like I said before, any light shone on women's wrestling and wrestling in general, I think is a positive light, because at this point, I think that we need all the fans that we can get for women's wrestling. I hope that people take from that Glow series, the next Netflix Glow series, what they will, and decide to tune into Impact on Thursdays and watch the Knockouts division.
I'm only about 3 episodes into Glow, so I can't give my solid opinion on it quite yet. It already has been full of drama and trial and tribulation, so I guess that is very closely related to real life, but I really need to watch the whole thing before I can really say how I feel about it.
I am a binge watcher, so I've watched the entire season. I love that it's drawing attention to women's wrestling, and I love that Tina had a part in it, and some other familiar faces, that they were able to be a part of the making of that. I will say this on the Netflix, I loved it, and it felt real life struggle. I just wish that it was more towards that people come out with something geared more towards family, children, that they can watch it, because I would have loved for my daughters to be able to have watched that season. But due to some of the language and different things, I'm just not comfortable with them watching it.
Hi, this is Raj Geary with WrestlingGeek.com again. My question is for Laurel. You've done a great job with your character this year, and I just wanted to know what influences you've had in creating that character, or if that's just something you've been coming up with on your own.
Thank you. That's fun.
That character has kind of been the brainchild of everyone. Dutch and I worked on that originally when we cut a promo after I was left at the altar. And Dutch kept kind of pushing me to get a little bit crazier and a little bit crazier. And the finished product was a promo where I was drinking champagne and crying and singing The Sun Will Come Up Tomorrow. And it blew up. Like, I did not realize how insane I would look or how much people would love it. But from then on, everyone has kind of given me their input and their take on what this character is, or, you know, what crazy people have come into their life and what they've done that maybe I can include in my character. And I really appreciate that, because every single person has a totally different take on what this hot mess, crazy, jilted bride should be like. And I've been able to include some of those things in my promos and in backstage segments and in the ring, And I love that. I can't totally take credit for it because it really has been every single person in the locker room and backstage working on this with me.
Hi, it's Nick Asman from WrestleZone.com again. Laurel, my next question was for you, and it was kind of similar. My question was about your very high-profile relationship with WWE superstar Zack Ryder. What does Zack think about Laurel Van Ness, and how is working for two different companies? How does that affect y'all's relationship?
Well, we call it the interpromotional relationship, but he loves the character. He thinks it's absolutely ridiculous, and he absolutely loves screenshotting pictures of me being crazy and sending them to me to make fun of me. So it's kind of a running joke that we have every Thursday when I get a new picture of myself, and I didn't know I could look, you know, that crazy. But on the relationship side of things, it really doesn't matter who we work for, what company we work for, or even if we were both wrestlers or not. At the end of the day, when we come home, we don't take work home with us, and we talk about normal things that, you know, what flowers we're going to plant in the garden or what tile is going to go in the house. You know, we're not sitting there at the dinner table talking about what spots we can do in our next match. So I think, surprisingly, you would be very bored if you sat with us and listen to our conversations.
Hi, it's Sam from the Total Wrestling Show. We ask everybody this question, and we've had a lot of serious ones tonight. So, does pineapple belong on pizza? That is to everybody.
Yes! Laurel says yes.
I agree, yes. Pineapple on pizza all the way. Fight me.
Absolutely not. No.
How did I know you were going to say that?
Because you don't put pineapple on my pizza. Extra pineapple for me.
It's a fruit. It's a fruit.
Hello, this is Riju from SportsKira again. Now, the wedding angle between Laurel and Braxton was one of the hottest angles from Impact TNA in recent memory. What do you think made it work, and how important was Maria Kanellis to the entire segment?
In my opinion, I think what made it work is kind of like I said before, is there were so many opinions and kind of ideas that were put into this big wedding scenario. Everyone gave their opinion on the way that they thought it should go, and I think that we picked the absolute best scenario, and it worked, and the crowd reacted, and Maria was a huge part of that segment leading up to the wedding. It really was, you know, 75% Maria planning all of this in the back, cutting these promos and things like that, and that's kind of what the build-up was all about, was Maria.
I do think that the fans hated Maria. Like, people can say whatever they want, but the fans hated Maria so much, and that's why that segment worked. They wanted to see Allie beat her so badly, and I also want to say that even though I was probably the least important person in that entire segment, that was like the rowdiest I've ever seen the Impact Zone the entire time I've been there so far. Like, it felt like the fans were surrounding the ring. They were so loud the entire time. So loud that I could not hear Laurel on the microphone. I know in post they make sure you can hear her, but I was sitting next to her and I could not hear her talking because the fans were screaming the entire time.
And I couldn't even hear myself. I remember that. I'll never forget. I could not even hear the only words that were coming out of my mouth.
And I think, I mean, just to chime in, I was not there at the time, but Maria obviously did a great job. But to have someone get over the heel, you've got to have amazing people as baby faces. And I think it's a great, everybody that was a part of that storyline at the time, it took all of you to get it, to be where it was, and I think everybody did an absolutely amazing job on all ends. But for people to
hate Maria, that's how much they had to love Allie. She had to do her part in that. And I think that her, Braxton, all of you did an amazing job in that storyline.
Steph Franklin for Stitcher Magazine. Yeah. My question is for Laura. You just said, in real life you're in a relation with Zack Ryder, but currently on storyline you're in a kind of love triangle between Grado and Congo Kong. My question is a very woman question. Who has the most sex appeal, Grado or Congo Kong?
They're both so sweet.
I can't tell
you. Woman question.
If I tell you that, I'm going to have some very angry men on my hand, and I like to have more than one man at all times. So if I tell you that, I'm going to be left with one and maybe none.
So, no comment for me. Hi, this is Raj Geary with WrestlingInc.com again. My question was for Sienna, given her MMA background. Do you see Conor McGregor having a chance against Floyd Mayweather this month?
Oh, that is a good question. I don't know, man, because he only has boxing elements, so I really, really don't know how that's going to go. I think that, at the same time, I do believe, I know this is going to be a controversial opinion, but I do believe everything on TV is fake. So I do believe that Floyd is going to win, and then Conor is going to challenge him to an MMA fight, and then Conor is going to win, because they're both protected by their own sport. If Conor loses in boxing, he doesn't really lose. He lost to a champion boxer. If Floyd loses in MMA, he didn't really lose. He lost to a champion MMA fighter. So they're both protected. They make billions, millions, millions of dollars. And I don't know, maybe they'll have a third one for a draw. I'm not really sure. But I'm telling you, and at least the high-profile fights, they're taking stuff from professional wrestling. That's all I'm going to say.
Absolutely. And it's all a work. 100%.
Good morning, David Dunn with the New Zealand Pro Wrestling Informer. My question is for Karen Jarrett. Karen, you and Sienna, there's been a bit of tension throughout the call this morning. Just wondering, have you ever considered stepping in the ring as a professional wrestler, possibly getting physical to solve some of these issues?
That's a good question.
I have not. I did have a match with Jeff, my ex-husband, in China. Was in there a little bit. But I have incredible respect for what these women do and how hard they train and the dedication that they put in to our business. And I feel like it would be incredibly disrespectful on my end to think that I have a place there. I absolutely 100% don't think that is ever in the cards for me, or I will say it is not in the cards for me. That's their place, not mine.
Hello, Riju from SportsKira again. This is for Laurel and Sienna. What was your experience like in India, and do you see GFW coming to India in the future, maybe?
Well, I'm sure that we'll be back. That crowd was nuts, man, and I mean that in a good way. I don't know how it's going to translate. The crowd was so loud, and they were just receptive, and it was very fun being there. I love looking back at pictures and seeing every single person in the crowd excited and on their feet and throwing up their hands and just being crazy, and it was definitely a fun crowd to be in front of.
I agree.
I loved it there.
I look at photos and I see footage here in the studio, and that was an incredibly difficult trip for our roster, travel-wise, show-wise, all across the board, and I think it probably could go down in history as, from what I have seen and what I have here, as one of the best trips that our talent has ever had. And me, I feel it is due to the audiences there and just the excitement that surrounded the company there.
We have time for just a couple more questions here.
It's Jeremy Walker from Real Sport. As you go forward and more knockouts are introduced to the company and things progress, do you think it's time to see a knockouts tag team championship division?
Absolutely.
Any more belts that I can win, I am totally down for it. So, yeah, bring more. Bring all of them. Laurel and I, we got this.
Oh, yeah, we got it, girl.
So just keep that in mind, Karen. Like, if that happens, Laurel and I need it. We deserve a shot. I'm especially considering I'm the unified champion right now. I feel like I have dibs.
Oh, God. Sienna, I can promise you this. I would never put Laurel in a position where she had to be attached to you.
Are you kidding me? I'm already guiding her throughout her entire crazy mess right now.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how much longer that goes on.
Okay.
Your disrespect, like, is you.
I don't think that's.
Hey, Ross. Do we have any more questions?
Yep, we have a question right now.
Hi, this is Deborah from the Total Wrestling Show again. Karen, if you could book a dream match with the Knockouts, who would it be with?
I would have to say Kong, Awesome Kong, versus Sienna.
I'm down. Book it.
Good, you're down for getting your ass kicked.
I don't know about all that, but I mean, there's only one way to find out.
Steph Falcone for Steel Chair Magazine again. My question is for Sienna and Laurel. Wanted to know who were your inspirations, women or men, in terms of wrestling. Who were the wrestlers that inspired you?
I'm going to keep it 100. There are very few women that inspire me, and I know that's probably going to be taken the wrong way, but I'm thinking of, like, back in my childhood. Right now, there are a lot of women that inspire me. Back when I used to watch wrestling as a kid, when I fell in love with wrestling, I did have a couple favorites, but it was really a lot of the guys, and the way they move and their aggression is what really hooked me as far as the actual matches. One of my favorites growing up was Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I mean, I don't really think I need to explain, because I'm sure a lot of people have the same story. I think that he was a fan favorite in general, but just the attitude and the way he moved and the way he moved in the ring in particular, not just the beer and the middle fingers and the catchphrases, but the way they move oftentimes is very different from the females, and I think that's usually what also determines a good female wrestler, is how they move. You see a lot of the girls that are very, like, hesitant, and they're just too dainty.
And I think for me, I'd have to say that the two people that have inspired me the most were, of course, Trish Stratus and Gail. I mean, the way that Gail moves in the ring, like Sienna said, you can tell a lot about her as a wrestler by the way she moves in the ring and her aggressiveness. I have always been an athlete, but still very girly, so I always loved, always loved watching Gail and Trish.
Hi, Riju from SportsKira again. So if you guys had to make predictions for the GFW Hall of Fame this year, one prediction, who would you say would go in this year?
I'm sorry, for what?
Who do you predict to go into the GFW Hall of Fame?
I'll let you girls take that first.
Well, Hall of Fame, let's see. What do you think, Laurel?
I mean, that's a tough one.
All right, well, then I'll answer it. I think that there should be no one other than my father-in-law to be inducted into the Hall of Fame this year. He started this company with his son, and he deserves to be there next to Jeff.
Final question, Ryan, it's yours once again.
Hey, ladies, thank you for your time again today. This is Ryan Bowman from thegorillaposition.com. Putting aside all personalities or any conflicts that may be happening, how much is there a synergy amongst the ladies in the locker room to say, hey, everybody talks about a wrestling revolution that happened a couple years ago, but we have a chance to recreate that again here in Global Force Wrestling. And how much do you guys talk about that? And, again, thanks for your time today.
In my opinion, that's like the one thing that we all have in common. I don't know if you feel the same way, Sienna. I definitely do. I think that our locker room is pretty tight. Give or take a few people, of course, you know, stories here and there. But overall, we have a really tight sisterhood. As much as I'm looking forward to more women joining the locker room, I really hope that we go about it the old school way, which is how I feel I was brought into this company, because I really do think that when I first came in, Gail was basically scouting me. Like, Gail was feeling me out, like, is this a person you want around? And I really hope we keep that going and we don't bring in toxic people to the locker room, because that's the last thing we need. And so as much as I'm looking forward to working with more talent, our small locker room right now is very tight. We hype each other up. We are working toward a common goal, and we all really do want to make Impact great again, not even trying to use a hashtag right now, but you know what I mean.
Ryan, first off, I want to say that your mother raised you well. You have incredible manners. But also, let's not lose sight of that every female in that locker room wants to have the main spot on the Knockouts roster. So it is still competitive. It is still cutthroat, no matter how fun and dandy everybody wants to make it appear. This is a business. You're showing up and you're trying to make your dream come true, and you but want to be the one that is being pushed. So while, yes, you know, the locker room is great right now from everything that I've heard, this is your life. If it's you or somebody else that's going to be pushed, you're going to stab that person in the back. And you're going to take that spot. So I think that's just a little reality check on the call that, you know, yeah, everyone can get along, but we all know what the end result is that everyone wants.
I think that everyone, I think I have no problem in the actual locker room itself, because people are afraid of me in general and no one's going to say anything to my face. So maybe it is, but they can all do that amongst themselves, and the day they step to me will be the last day. So I guess we'll just have to take it from there.
Sienna, let's not lose sight. This isn't a club we joined in high school.
I'm sorry, what?
I said, let's not lose sight of this. This is your future. This is you making your dream come true. This is not a club you joined in high school.
Oh, I'm not here to make friends. Don't get twisted. I'm the current champion, and I'm going to stay that way. What I'm saying is no one has anything to come to say to my face. If they do, I'll address it then.
Well, I appreciate all the calls today. We're going to give Laurel a first chance at a final thought.
There are no final thoughts. Thank you for everyone for calling in, and I hope I continue to entertain you.
Karen, how about from you?
I want to say thank you to everyone for calling in and for all the questions, and I hope we were able to answer everything. And also, Friday, August 4th, Long Island, New York, Impact 5, Saturday, August 5th, Staten Island. If you're in the area, I hope you can make it. If it's a short enough drive, I hope you can make it. But it's going to be exciting.
And finally, of course, the reigning Knockouts champion, Sienna, your final thoughts.
I would like to say you're welcome for giving you an hour of my time when I could be doing something much more productive. And keep it classy and keep those pinkies up.
Perfect. I appreciate everybody's time. We'll be back next Wednesday with a triple header. We have three stars coming on the Cal Conference next week. You don't want to miss that. Following week, right before Destination X, we will have two teleconferences the following week. Stay tuned. I'll be emailing you about those.
Thanks, Ross. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.